Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, our live Saturday morning webcast, where you can learn everything you wanted to know about tropical gardening. As a reminder, you can always listen to us at our Mixlr site. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. You can also find our replays of past radio shows on our Mixlr site, as well as links to all of our past shows right on our own toptropicals.com website. If you have questions, you can send them through our Mixlr website. Alternatively, you can also call our studio, 239-887-3323. Again, that's 239-887-3323. And our studio staff will make sure your questions get to us and we answer them live on the air. All right, today is Saturday and our discussion is Put a Little Spice in Your Life, where we will discuss the many plants for spices that Top Tropicals has for you to flavor your food. And to give us a little information on that, our host, Robert Reefer, internationally certified crop advisor and weed scientist and our own Top Tropical specialist. Robert, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I think I need a little spice in my life as well. Basically, one of the most expensive spice in the world is, of course, saffron, which is made from the stamens of a crocus flower called Crocus sativa. It is native to the Turkish and Syrian regions, although I don't think the crocus is doing too well in Syria right at the moment. The next most expensive spice is vanilla, and this is obtained from three species which grow worldwide: Vanilla's planifolia, pompona, and tahitiensis. And I especially want to see tahitiensis in situ, because that would mean I'd finally be in Tahiti rather than Southwest Florida. Yes. The difference, though, between Tahiti and Southwest Florida is the Tahitians wear a lot more clothes than we do here. But seriously, we also will discuss allspice, black pepper, the root beer plant, and lemongrass. All of these spices are perennial, which means they live all year long. So you don't have to plant a little seed, watch it grow up, and have tears of sorrow once it dies 270 days later.
Okay, Robert, so we have some different spices. Vanilla. What about allspice? What does that mean? I see allspice at the store, and I don't know what that means. That means every spice is mixed into one plant? How could that be?
Well, allspice is used for a variety of food dishes, and basically it's a spice that you can put in all things. Here's the other wonderful thing about allspice. Whereas with vanilla, you have to get a flower and pollinate it and play with it. And crocus, you have to get it to bloom in order to have the stamens. With allspice, you merely pick the leaves off and you're ready to go. Now, they mix allspice with pumpkins. I believe all the rage was pumpkin about a year or so ago. They've got pumpkin latte and pumpkin this and pumpkin that. I just don't trust any gourd that grows to a weight of 1,500 pounds. I'm sorry, but I do like the pumpkin seeds. The other thing that you can do, lemongrass. Lemongrass is one of my favorites. I like to wrap chicken breasts with this, and of course breasts are my favorite as well, part of the chicken, you understand. But these are all spices that, if you were to buy it fresh in the store, would cost you an arm and a leg. But you can grow it yourself, and think about it. For the cost of getting a lemongrass or an allspice here, you will probably recoup your money back within a year. and that's called a 100% rate of return. Now, you could stick the money in the bank and get a fraction of 1% from your banker, or invest it in your favorite spice, bring it home, have some joy, and something edible as well.
I like it. So we're going to start a spice hedge fund. That's where we're going to put our money. Yes. I like it. So we've talked a little bit about vanilla and allspice. Let's get to a couple questions we've had already. Regarding vanilla, how old does the vanilla have to be before it is able to produce?
Well, in 32 of the 50 states here in the United States, the vanilla must be of legal consenting age, you understand, before you pollinate it. However, several years is generally required. What you can do, I've raised a vanilla to flowering stage in about 2 years. Now, most people let their vanilla orchids run wild up and down trees, etc. Well, I have found through personal experience that laziness is the true mother of invention. Rather than taking the time to build a trellis for my vanillas, I wound up wrapping them into a ball, just like a ball of yarn. And with this, on one vanilla vine, I was able to obtain 750 flowers in just one growing season. And this was like in a small 25-gallon pot. So the vanillas, if you wind them up in a ball, don't let them run free. Apparently, the curving of this, as well as allowing their roots to get into the soil, into the medium, and therefore pick up your nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and all the other groceries the plant wants, this causes the vanilla to mature quite readily.
Okay, and then we talked at great length about the allspice. We have a question here from a listener. Does allspice produce any fruit at all? Interesting.
Yes, it does. It actually produces a small seed. I've never personally tasted the allspice seed, so I don't know about its edibility or whether or not it tastes good. Remember, all plants everywhere are edible. It's just some of them are edible one time.
One time and one time only. In our introduction to the show, we talked a little bit about the black pepper. Tell me a little bit about that spice, and when would you have to harvest the peppers on a black pepper vine?
Okay, the black pepper, Piper nigrum, grown all over the world. In fact, Dr. Ramdas Kanasari, my boss over at the University of Florida, his father is actually a black pepper farmer, as well as a coconut farmer. And we'll be having him on our show in about 2 weeks, and then we can delve maybe a little bit into detail as to when to harvest. Now, I would recommend that you harvest it as soon as the berries start to turn color from green to maybe a small yellow color.
Okay. And I see also that we're going to talk a little bit about the root beer plant. Tell me about that plant. It sounds very interesting. Is it related at all to the soft drink?
Well, actually, the soft drink of root beer is made from the sarsaparilla, or actually sassafras tree. It can also be made from the roots of the birch tree. Back in the 1960s, you remember the 1960s when you could get a really good seafood dinner, trilobites. And at any rate, the root beer plant is quite delicious. You can get the flavoring right out of the stems and out of the leaves. but it is not related to sassafras. In fact, Top Tropicals is going to be investigating the possibility of getting some sassafras, because it's actually a beautiful tree, and the leaves of the sassafras is what make the gumbo fillet, which is a very popular spice that you say. So sassafras trees, in addition, can also be grown in colder climates. So this way, Top Tropicals might start being a little bit of temperate tropicals.
I'm going to change the marketing name, Temperate Tropicals. Before we go on, Robert, each Saturday we talk a little bit about a special discount for our listeners. And did you know that yesterday, Friday, was Arbor Day, the last Friday in April? Well, it's true. So we are going to celebrate Arbor Day, as we always do at Top Tropicals, encouraging our listeners to plant, nurture, and celebrate trees. And one great way to do that is to offer you a discount. So for Saturday this weekend, the discount for Arbor Day is Arbor Day 2017, Arbor Day 2017. All of our listeners can take advantage of that discount. It's 15% off your $100 or greater order. That's, of course, before shipping charges. And that offer expires on April 30th. So once again, Arbor Day 2017, 15% off your $100 or greater order, expires on April 30th. So a ways back, a few minutes back, Robert, you talked a little bit about the vanilla plant and that you planted it in a small 25-gallon plot. So our listener is asking, how did you plant the vanilla? Using moss, dirt, or how?
I used a special mix, which was basically 40% peat moss and about 60% perlite, an exceptionally well-draining mix. And also, back in the good old days, before everything was recyclable, I used plastic peanuts in the bottom of the pot. Nowadays, you'll have to use rock or something like that, because the plastic peanuts are actually made of corn. And in fact, what was really cool at a irrigation supply house in Immokalee, they used to have chickens there. And I said, what do they eat? And the owner said, they eat the packing material. And there they were pecking away on these plastic peanuts. So I recommend a very light-drained mix of Canadian peat moss and perlite. So you can use that. Gently lay the vanilla on top. Keep it well watered. And it'll smell that peat moss, and it'll get its roots into the soil.
Excellent. And going back to a question we had regarding the black pepper, we have another follow-up question. What type of humidity should our listeners provide for the black pepper plant, and can they grow it in a greenhouse?
Here is what I would basically suggest. I would grow it with as low a humidity as possible that makes your other plants comfortable. Generally, with humidity, there is a rule. If you are uncomfortable, your plants are uncomfortable. Now, here in Southwest Florida, we have the running joke as to what's going to hit 100 first: the temperature, the humidity, or the wind speed.
Or your neighbor. Okay, follow-up question here regarding cashews. Our customer is asking, I see you carry cashew, but it is only for pickup. Is there any way to have it shipped?
Well, unfortunately, there is not. We don't know what the problem is, whether the cashew gets air sick or what. But as far as trying to airship the cashew plants, they just want to die. So we want all of our customers here at Top Tropicals to be happy, so we quit shipping dead plants to them.
sound business practice if I've ever heard one. Okay, question regarding a chocolate tree. Now, I don't know, do you consider chocolate a spice? I know it spices up your life, but here's the question. I just got a 3-gallon chocolate tree from Top Tropicals. When should I expect to see fruits?
Okay, now your chocolate will actually bear at a very early age. Now that it's the growing season, I would place it in a very nice pot and larger, like a 7 or even a 10-gallon pot. Then I would make sure it's all comfy, give it a lot of fertilizer, a lot of water. They're very heavy tropical feeders. And I would believe that by this season or next, you should start to see the flowers coming out. Incidentally, the fruit is what's called cauliferous. In other words, it is produced right off of the trunk of the tree. And chocolate is just such a marvelous and beautiful, even a beautiful houseplant, in addition to being able to obtain the chocolate off of it. In fact, we had one customer call in, and he was really asking some very strange questions in regards to his chocolate tree. And finally I asked, exactly where are you located? And the answer came back, Anchorage, Alaska. So they can be grown in greenhouses, and just because you might live in North Dakota or in the warmer state of South Dakota is no reason why you can't get some very nice, beautiful tropical plants and raise them in a greenhouse.
Okay, now shifting gears for just a second, we have a question regarding figs. I know we offer fig trees here at Top Tropicals. The question is there a fig tree that bears fruit all year?
Absolutely. It is called the Texas Everbearing Fig. In fact, the fig family, the family Moraceae, where we get such things as mulberries from, as well as banyan and ficus trees. For those of you up north, you might not believe this, but the ficus and banyan can be an absolute pain here in South Florida. We had one ficus tree that was actually taken out by the city over on the East Coast because it produced so many berries that when it rained, the cars were sliding in it and causing accidents on a major roadway.
Well, I see here on our website we offer 5 different varieties of figs, plus our plant catalog has literally dozens more to choose from. Talk to us a little bit about some of the different varieties of figs, Robert, and what our listeners maybe could expect.
Okay, first we have the Black Mission fig, and that is really a nice one. It was introduced in California around 1770, and it was in a mission station in Baja California, so it can put up with reduced humidity. We also have the brown turkey fig, and it is quite delicious. In addition, we have the Ischia fig, and this is one of the light-skinned varieties. And then finally, we have the Texas Everbearing fig. In addition, we do have the lava fig, and it's basically more a showy plant. It is unfortunately inedible.
Excellent. So 4 varieties of edible figs and then a show fig. Here's another question we have regarding red leaf tea and small leaf tea. And the question is, what is the difference between the two, between the red leaf tea and the small leaf tea? And when you answer that, can you also tell, for our listeners that don't know, maybe a little bit about those plants?
Okay, the red and small leafed teas are exactly the same species. However, they are what we call two different varieties. One of the best ways to obtain tea leaves for the green tea is to just gently nip off the part about two or three leaves from the very end. This will cause the plant to produce even more growth, and it's just very, very delightful. Dry your tea leaves naturally in the sun is a good way, right on the windowsill, and it should be able to give you enough. And then also one other thing, a lot of people, when they steep tea, they go and they put it in the finest china and they time it exactly for the number of minutes they want it to steep, and they forget one thing: the major ingredient that you use to make a cup of tea, the water. Make sure your water is decent, and even distilled or RO water will bring out the basic aroma and flavor of a particular tea. Because down here in Southwest Florida, it's quite easy, for instance, to make an egg salad sandwich. You just boil the water and leave out the eggs. There's plenty of sulfur to go around in the water.
True enough. Okay, here's a question regarding ginger. Now, I believe that's a spice. Talk a little bit about the gingers we offer. And the question is, are all gingers edible?
Not all gingers are edible. You must take a look at our Top Tropicals website so that you can see. I know it as Alpina officinalis, but you know these taxonomists. They're people that instead of exploring the jungle want to go to the library so that they can rename the plant 12 times a decade. But ginger is an absolutely fantastic plant. And it can be grown as a house plant as well. So ginger is another one of those spices that can be used as a containerized plant and placed in the home or in the patio. Or what do we have over here? Oh yeah, we call them lanais. Those are those things that blow away every hurricane season.
Got to keep the screen guys in business. Going back to a question, I believe it refers to the vanilla we talked about and you growing it in a 25-gallon pot. The question is, would a 5- or 7-gallon pot be too small? And what would you use, Robert, if using a larger 25- or 30-gallon was not possible because of the weight?
Okay, you can use any kind of container you like. 5 or 7 gallons would even be appropriate. Make sure that the pot has decent drainage. And one other thing that we're going to be exploring later is the fact that if you take a look, most of these pots used in nurseries are black. They are not white. And what this does is, in the Florida sun and even in Georgia heat and up north, this causes, in my opinion, to have the side of the pot far too hot. And this makes your pathogens, your bacteria, your fungus, your mold, your mildew, your other little nasty critters bloom quite well. And we may play around with that, where we grow some stuff in some white pots, some in some black pots, some in green. Because this is one of the things where the nursery industry might be able to get a really good leg up. And for instance, in the fields in Immokalee, Florida, at various times of the year, we will use either a black plastic mulch, or you just turn it over and it's white on the other side. And so, to me, I would like to keep the root system as cool as possible and keep the rest of the plant as warm as possible. This will cause evapotranspiration, where the plant loses water through the leaves. And the more evaporation you get, the faster the engine runs and the faster the plant grows.
Excellent. That's been an interesting experiment. Robert, a question regarding bay rum leaf. The question is it edible? Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about the leaf. And what would you suggest to treat yellow fungus on bay rum?
Well, as far as my tasting the bay rum, I actually never got past the rum. But as far as treating fungus on your bay rum, first of all, don't forget, as with all plants, culture is key. You want to have your bay rum tree in an environment that it's happy with and the fungus is not happy with. You can try, once again, one of my favorites, hydrogen peroxide. It is very, very inexpensive, and it breaks down into oxygen and water, which are not poisonous. Last time I checked, you know, we never know. The EPA may declare oxygen to be a hazardous chemical.
Taxable.
Yeah, let's start taxing the oxygen. Well, they're already taxing the water, so what the hey?
So, but answer that question regarding, is it edible? Now, I'm understanding from the website the bay rum leaf is related to the allspice, but does that make it edible? I would assume so.
I have seen it in actuality used in drinks, and it is indeed edible. One thing to remember, though, just because one plant is edible to you does not make it edible to another human being. There are some people who are allergic to mangoes. There are people that are highly allergic to peanuts. So take a little taste. Don't dive right in and throw the salad dressing over your bay rum leaves on your first attempt.
Good advice. Here's a great question. It came in earlier regarding all the plants we're talking about today, the spices, etc. Can these plants, can they be grown in the containers? Many of our listeners don't have the kind of room for a big backyard garden. What do you think about that, growing these spices in containers?
The wonderful thing about these spices is that they are perfect for containerized gardening. Two things to look for, though, in the appropriate container. Number one, make sure it's large enough. And number two, make sure that there's either a dish or some container underneath the pot so that when you get your drainage from watering the plant, that it doesn't run all over your expensive Berber carpet. I believe in fine print in the carpet stores it says something to the effect of it's void if a houseplant dirties it.
It's the houseplant clause.
The houseplant clause. Okay, ready to wrap up here. Another great question regarding an edible spice, the jasmine flower. Is that flower edible, and can they be added to your tea or other foods?
Well, let's see. The thrips sure do like it, but thrips are an insect. But seriously, the jasmine flower, again, the sandback jasmine is a good one. Also, Jasminum officinalis is the jasmine plant that is used in the perfume fields in France. So, once again, make sure that even though it's edible, you're not allergic to it. And visit the Top Tropicals website to see our fine selection of jasmines.
Well, Robert, one last question before we wrap it up regarding banana trees. How tall, how old does that tree need to be before it produces fruit?
Generally, 1 to 2 years is enough. And please bear in mind that banana plants actually are of varying heights. There are some that will grow up to 30 feet before they bear fruit. There are others, like the dwarf Cavendish,
that will bear fruit at only a height of 2 to 3 feet. So depending on how tall you are or how adept your trained monkey is, you know, you want to get the right banana plant for the right spot. And once again, visit our website at Top Tropicals to see the various varieties that we carry in the way of bananas.
Excellent. Robert, thank you for the informative broadcast today. Just a reminder to our listeners, next week's show is Let Your Plants Go to Pot, where in fact we will be discussing containerized gardening. And a reminder that through April 30th, Arbor Day 2017 is your discount coupon for 15% off any orders over $100 of product before shipping. Robert, thank you, and everybody listening, tell your friends, tell your gardening club, come listen to Radio Top Tropicals every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll see everybody here next week. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, sir.